You're at the office and you're faced with the biggest decision of the day, lunch. Sure, you could settle for those leftovers, or you could go to Buffalo Wild Wings, where the B-Dubs Fast Break lunch menu has special starting at a new low price. Make the safe bet and go to B-Dubs Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
If you're anything like I was, the thought of getting older was the last thing on your mind. But here we are. For me, it started slowly. The lack of energy. Never being in the mood. And when I was, I could never perform at my best. I tried the pills and other treatments with minimal results, and all but given up on my sex life. Then, I found the doctors at New Mayo Medical Center. Wow, they made a new male out of me. Feel like I'm 25 again. I have renewed vigor, so much more energy, and no longer worry about my performance. New Mayo treated me like my situation was one of a kind. With a custom treatment plan that really works, I feel great. They can create one for you too. It does not matter if you suffer from low testosterone, erectile dysfunction, or just want to last longer. New Mayo will help you.
Call New Mayo Medical Center today at 847-852-4144. That's 847-852-4144. 847-852-4144. It will change your life. 847-852-4144.
3015.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio. This is the official radio home for White Sox baseball. Listen to every White Sox game here.
Turn on fireworks
on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station, WSER and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, the Wolves host Utica in the playoffs this Wednesday and Friday night at Allstate Arena. It's game two tonight between the Bulls and the Bucks at the United Center. Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler combined for 48 in the Game 1 victory, shooting 17 for 30 from the floor. Tonight, it's a 7 p.m. game time at the UC. The Blackhawks hold on to a 2-1 lead over Nashville for yesterday's 4-2 win. Game 4 is tomorrow at the United Center. Scott Darling starts in net. The White Sox host Cleveland tonight. Pregame on the Score starts at 6:35. John Danks opposes Trevor Bauer. Some roster moves today for the White Sox, starting with Carlos Rodon being called up from AAA. He will pitch out of the bullpen. Jake Petrichka was reinstated from the 15-day DL. Javi Guerra was placed on the 15-day DL, and Kyle Drabek was designated for assignment. The Cubs are in Pittsburgh this evening with Jake Arrieta facing A.J. Burnett. Jed Hoyer joined Spiegel and Goff this morning in an interview you can hear at 670thescore.com. One game in progress right now, and it's in rain delay out at Fenway. The Red Sox leading the Orioles 7-1 in the bottom of the seventh. NFL note, Tim Tebow expected to sign a one-year minimum salary contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. And congrats to Jim Furyk, who ended a 100-start stretch without a victory. He beat Kevin Kisner on the second playoff hole in the RBC Heritage at Harbortown. This scoreboard update brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store, your Big Green Egg Superstore in Wilmette. Listen to the Scorecard Golf Show every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. to hear the latest on the Chicago golf scene. The Scorecard Golf Show is brought to you by the BMW Championship. The BMW Championship is back at Conway Farms this September. Visit BMWChampionship.com for more information. I'm Matt Batticoli. You're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. The next game on the Score is tonight at 6:35 when the Sox take on the Indians on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by University of Phoenix. Visit phoenix.edu.
Oh, baby!
Lynn Casper.
Absolutely massacred. Soler.
Chicago Cubs play-by-play man.
Cubs win! Rizzo comes through.
All the latest news and notes from the Cubs.
Cubs lead! Dexter Fowler! Two-run homer!
Way out of here! Chris Bryant's done it again!
Lynn Casper.
To infinity and beyond.
What's that from?
Star Wars.
Lynn Casper with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Lynn Casper talks baseball with us weekly on the Grossinger Lincolnwood Hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. He's on Twitter at Lynn Casper. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, fellows. How's everybody back in Chicago? It's a nice day in Pittsburgh. And the New York Rangers, I actually ran into them as they were getting off their team bus after their morning skate. So it's a big, big night here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and hockey meatball that you are. I'm sure you're eating up every bit of it. So now that the Bryant Palooza is past and a lot of that the silliness can sort of settle into baseball now, what are you looking for as this all starts to go from just sort of algorithmic projections to a real guy on a real field?
Well, I think number one, getting used to major league pitching. We've seen a lot of teams work them inside, not only with fastballs, but changeups. Right-handers throwing changeups to Bryant is interesting. You don't often see guys like Andrew Kashner throw a ton of changeups versus righties, but that has been a vulnerable spot early on. I liked his approach a lot on Saturday when he just decided, I'm not going to swing at every slider off the plate outside. He was really anxious in the openers. Nobody was that surprised about it. I think he wanted to hit a 9-run homer in every at-bat. And then secondly, I think his work at third base defensively. I talked to him yesterday, and it's really important to him to get better defensively.
Good.
Not the smoothest cat on the planet at third because of his height, but it really is important for this team to keep him there because of the way the roster is constructed at the moment. You could put him in left field, but you know they feel pretty good about Coughlin and DeNorfia and Matt Caesar when he's on the big league roster there. Fowler is set in center, Soler in right. Infield is where the Cubs have a need right now, and second base may be the next spot where you may see some changes. So I think he'll stay at third for the time being, and as time goes on, may end up getting some more reps out and left.
The throwing problems are a concern, though. I'm worried about Rizzo when he keeps sort of throwing him into baseline trouble.
Yeah, his throws have not been perfect so far. It hasn't really affected anything terribly negatively. He did make an error on Saturday in the first inning, but did not lead to an unearned run. The bottom line is, so far, he's made the plays, even though he hasn't looked like Nolan Arenado, and I don't think anybody is expecting him to be anything close to a Gold Glover over there. But so far, I think it's been fine, and he's here to hit. And to hit fourth in a lineup that looks a lot better than it did, before he got here.
Lenny, the Lester thing bother you at all? I mean, he insists that he's completely healthy. The Cubs say the same thing. It appears to be really a control issue that he just has no feel for his cutter right now. And obviously, if he doesn't have his cutter, he's not John Lester. And I assume that will come back at some point here if that's the case. Are you comfortable with the explanation to this point?
I am, because he was hitting 94, Barry, on the radar gun, and it's not all velocity. I know location does matter when it comes to how a guy's feeling physically, but there does not seem to be any sort of physical answer to this. I guess when you say, am I bothered by it? I'm not bothered by it if this is kind of the bad John Lester. He hasn't been horrible. Mm-hmm. He was actually okay yesterday, and he's gotten better in his first three starts. And I guess the answer is, if it's just kind of getting into his routine, he hasn't pitched on normal rest yet. He's with a new team. He's in a new league. He didn't have a normal spring training. There are tons of reasons, and I suppose if you want to say excuses, which I know he will not use, for why he hasn't been the John Lester of old. But I still stick with the track record and say that, if these are three of his worst starts this year, then I'm fine with that. But I know he doesn't want to see it continue, and he wants to be a heck of a lot better every time he takes the ball. And he will pitch on regular rest this next time out in Cincinnati. So if he continues to get better, I'm totally fine with it.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the pitch effects data, but it just, to the naked eye, looked like some of the slider, some of the non-existent cutter, but it's stuff other than his fastball was rolling and sweeping rather than biting. I don't know if you see it similarly, but it just there was an overall hitability that isn't there when he's good.
Well, I think what tends to happen with the slight mechanical issues guys tend to have at times, if their arm angle drops, is cutters, sliders, those types of pitches that are supposed to have, or in some cases not so subtle, downward movement, they end up staying on a similar plane and just kind of go across the zone, and you often hear about a cement mixer slider that, yep, doesn't really do much. I think that could be an issue for him right now. The bottom line is, if you haven't watched him pitch a lot, and I haven't in the past, he's not a guy who is a stuff guy in terms of just going to blow you away like Jake Arrieta or some other guys will. His ability to locate all of his pitches is really important. And I think as he gets older and he's getting into his 30s, I've heard the comp of Andy Pettitte, that he's a guy who should be able to pitch until he nears 40 years old, because he does have that pitch ability and knows what he's doing. And right now, I just think it's executing. He just has not put the ball exactly where he wants to, and there seem to be two or three pitches every day where he kind of gets that angry look. You know, he's a perfectionist, and I don't think he's ever going to feel totally good about things until he's shutting people out on a daily basis.
Lenny, it has to be very comforting to watch Joe Maddon manage a game, manage the clubhouse, manage the media, really everything that he does. It's all very calm. It's all very well thought out, and he's been interesting to watch during games so far. The one thing that surprised me was on Saturday when he didn't go to his closer with a four-run lead, because most guys now, they don't care about the stat, they don't care about the save itself, and they're willing to go to their closer with a four-run lead. I was surprised that he didn't. I wonder what you thought.
I'll tell you what, guys. He's going to do stuff with the bullpen that other managers don't do, and there's a rhyme and a reason to everything he does. It doesn't mean it's always going to work.
Mm-hmm.
He has been very willing to give the ball to Phil Koch. He did have Rondon getting ready, and I know that what you're getting at, Roz, is a legitimate question, and that is, your closer generally likes to start an inning clean as opposed to come in with men on base. But there may have been some pitch selection issues there where one pitch had been made early in that inning. If you get an out on a tough play up the middle at second base, that first out they just couldn't get, I think that inning would have looked a lot different. The bullpen has not been good here the last few days. Now, the Padres' offense has a lot to do with it. But I talk to Joe every day, and he explains exactly why he uses who he uses. Grimm and Ramirez on the DL, that has created a situation where he's got to use guys like Mott and Schlitter, maybe in situations he normally wouldn't. And I think he likes Zach Roscup, so the Cubs are getting a little bit more left-handed back there. But ideally, you'd use Strope and Rondon every single day, but obviously that's not possible. And the fact that they're tired means the Cubs have had a lot of late leads in the first 2 weeks, so that's actually a good thing.
Yeah, that's a positive. But I was just surprised because he had them both up. He had his guy ready, and, I mean, why not just have him start the inning? Rather than dry hump him, I mean, if you got him ready, you might as well pitch him.
I do agree with you to an extent, although I would say this. I think too many managers use their closer in non-safe situations, and in fact,